want to start by asking how it felt to you all to sing the hymn, "May Nothing Evil Cross This Door," and sit for a moment with how it spoke to you. I find this hymn really challenging. It seems to speak to a desire to shelter in a safe place, right? To let the pains and ills of the world around it bounce off. It talks about peace and laughter inside the walls and outside, raucous shout and ill fortune. And it seems to invoke faith as the means to do this, to create a haven that nothing can touch, to keep hate out and to hold love in. And who among us has not wanted that? There's so much hate bouncing around the world, so much hate supported and protected, and I don't believe there's anything wrong with wanting a haven when the world outside has become too much, too scary, or even too dangerous to navigate without the promise of safety nearby. Indeed, it is what I have done all summer. And it's a lovely image. But it's missing something. I have to ask, what good is a safe haven except to the people inside it if the world outside is going to hell? Does our faith tradition really tell us that we should keep hate out and hold love in? I believe that we hold the key to not only making a safe space for ourselves, but to bring safety and freedom to the rest of the world. This belief drives my ministry, as many of you know well. I don't think it's enough to make a haven for myself, and at the same time, I think we have to make havens for ourselves, whoever our is. Sometimes I really want that place I can crawl into and get away. Get away from the hate and the destruction, the demoralization, especially when those evils are perpetuated and supported by the systems we've put into place to run things. I started writing this sermon before the white supremacist protests in Charlottesville began, and it was going to be a very different sermon. So fair warning, the pieces are a little fresh, perhaps a little disjointed from each other. I'm still processing. But I wrote this first piece before a woman was killed and 19 people were hurt by a person ramming a car into the crowd of people where there are people I know and love. I wrote it before people were allowed to beat on each other while police stood in alleyways. All for the false and the dangerous, and yes, I will say it, the evil premise that our nation can only be great if everyone is the same. And same is defined as white and Christian and born here and straight and cisgender. Unitarian Universalists have answered the call of love and are in Charlottesville right now with people of many other faith traditions facing down fearsome hate with linked arms and song and prayer, people many of you know, people like Christopher Sims and Susan Frederick Gray, and people I know, like Carlton Elliott Smith and Christina Rivera and Jean Pupke and Steve Ballesteros and David Carl Olson and Wayne Arneson, and people I don't know. People are literally and knowingly putting themselves in harm's way to bring the love. I'm grateful to them for their witness, for their willingness to risk, for their clarity and their courage and their example. And I am not there. I am here. I am safe for now. I am cheering my people on. I am holding them in my heart. I am making their witness more visible. But I am here. I am here so my daughter, and this is going to sound dramatic, and it's really not. I am here so my daughter can grow up with a mom. And so you all don't have to go into search again. I am here because I've already been away from you all for 5 weeks, and it's time to reengage in our relationships and in our work. I'm here because I have some social engagements that I'm hoping will help me continue my healing process. I am here, and I'm taking care of myself so I can tag in when Christopher or Susan or Carlton or Christina or Jean or Steve or David need to tag out. I am here, but I'm not hiding in a shelter designed to keep hate out or hold love in. I am here trying to breathe, to shore up, to find the strength and the courage to do my part in building a structure that is big enough for all of us, whose door is open and whose threshold can be passed. So my vision for this hymn is not of a single home or a congregation or even a single faith tradition, but for a whole world that can be a shelter, a just and loving world where we all think about holding the love in for all of us. So the Mary Oliver piece that C read for us speaks volumes to me about this, the reminder that I have to listen to my own voice to remember to save myself. I am reminded that every prophet, even Jesus, had to take the time to fill with the word before preaching it. And that means stopping to breathe and to listen. We cannot mend anything unless we are also mending ourselves. Notice that I did not say we can't mend anything until we ourselves have been mended. If that were the case, if we waited until we were ready to dive in, we would never get the work done. I am not talking about engaging and stepping back as if there's a clear boundary between the two. There is space between putting your whole self in and taking your whole self out. We are never completely tagged out. I am not in Charlottesville, but I am talking about it. I am sharing news online. I am processing it with colleagues. I am nurturing my support network. I am making plans for what is next. What's happening in our nation is not just misguided. The people who surrounded my people in Charlottesville on Friday night holding tiki torches and shouting hate and ugliness and eventually turning those torches into bludgeons, they were not just exercising their right to free speech. They were not just assembling peaceably. They were using their white privilege to intimidate, to bully, to injure the people they see as a threat to the continuation of the existence of that privilege. They were given permission to do this by a system built on white supremacy culture and hell-bent on staying that way, and by a president who is using the same tactics in our international relationships. And at the same time, they are people, our human siblings, worthy and loved, just like the people who are easier to like. How that feels is a part of the system of oppression that is far bigger than simple racism. We are edging into authoritarianism, into enforced homogeneity. I saw acceptance and condoning of violence to silence people who are pushing back against that. This is not misguided, and it is not accidental, and it is evil. So I feel a little like George W. Bush with this talk about evil, right? But I'm not talking about evil resting within a particular place, an axis, a nation, or a particular person or group of people, or even a particular kind of person. I'm talking about evil that sits within us all. that is awakened by fear, that can guide us into actions of harm. We cannot keep evil from crossing this door because it is already here. There's a whole series on that. It drives some people to violence. It drives some people to defensiveness. It drives some people to complacency and silence. And so fighting this evil that lurks within and is expressed as harm to self and others, requires us to first take care of ourselves. We cannot fight evil if we are exhausted. We cannot fight evil if we are feeling afraid, or if we are feeling alone, because that is how it wins. By making us exhausted, by making us feel afraid, by making us feel alone. And so we build up community and we take care of ourselves and each other. We make sure that we never get to the point of being exhausted, that we have resources to counter our fear, that we know deep down that we are not alone. We have talked before about the tension between justice work and taking care of each other, again, as if it's one or the other, as if it is stepping in or stepping out. But you know what? Justice work is taking care of each other, collectively. It's what we're doing here as we come together. Even if some of us never take to the streets or call our representatives or donate to the ACLU, we're building a community of love that will counter the evil just by its presence. And so when this community moves into the public sphere by making public statements and by becoming part of the new sanctuary movement, we are doing it together. Even if some of us individuals don't have the capacity to step into the work on our own. So we're here to take care of each other and ourselves, yes. And we're here to widen the circle of who we think of as each other. One of the ways we do that is by opening our hearts to one another, and we practice that in a lot of ways. Joys and sorrows comes to mind. But now I'm going to invite you to practice it by talking with each other for a few minutes. Or if you're too uncomfortable with that today, just reflect for yourself what I'm about to ask you. So turn to a neighbor if you're willing, and please tell them one thing that you have done this summer to take care of yourself, knowing that you are offering them a tool and your own heart. I will let you know when a minute has passed, and then your neighbor will share with you. Go. So I invite you to return. Come on back to the whole room. Continue these conversations in coffee hour. And come return to silence or shared awareness. Let what your neighbor told you sink in, or let your reflection deepen, and breathe. Thank you. Valerie Kaur, the Sikh woman who has been working with the Revolutionary Love Movement and the repairers of the breach, uses birth metaphors for what is going on in our world. She has said, and I have quoted this before, What if this time is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? And then she extends the metaphor, and she says that in order to be sustainable in this long-haul work of birthing a new world of love, we have to remember to breathe and then push. I was reminded the last time I saw Valerie speak that that process doesn't just happen once. We have to breathe and then push and then breathe again and push again. And then again, and again, and again. But we don't have to do it in unison. In fact, it's better if we don't. If I am pushing when you are breathing, then you can step in and push while I breathe. And if you're not capable of pushing, then just keep breathing. And your neighbors will push. We will do this thing together. May it be so. May we be so.